Well, good evening. This is Carlotta Waldman. I'd like to welcome you to Crosswalk Life. And our program tonight will be about prophetic ministry and whether we include direction, whether we include guidelines, whether we include like the Old Testament prophets did. You know, how do we do it? And so I'd like to encourage you to look at similar articles on how to have true godly discernment, how to avoid being critical or having a judgmental spirit. You can find those on crosswalklife.com. I'd like to encourage you to also look at Now Faith TV, nowfaith.tv. You'll see our archives of Crosswalk Talk programs. And starting with year three, semester one, and Now Faith TV. Tonight we're going to be talking about how God corrects people, how He doesn't, models that we have in the Bible, things that God corrected people for, and what all that's got to do with prophetic ministry. So I'd like to welcome you to not only listen in, you can call in for ministry after about 30 minutes. The number would be 917-388-4683. Or you can invite a friend to call in. And I just want to encourage you to join us as we also refer to lots of scriptures. Can you hear me fine? I want to encourage you to take notes, because tonight will be full of resources on how God deals with people when they need correction. One thing that I want to say right off the bat is a wonderful guideline for offering correction or offering guidance when it's needed, because people are getting on the wrong track or stepping in a trap of the enemy, or not hearing what God's saying, not receiving correction easily, is in 2 Timothy 2:23 through 25. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So we see several guidelines here. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Many times when we might get in the flesh and have a sudden urgent need to correct someone, it's really about a foolish or unlearned question, or it's about a doctrinal point that isn't that critical. We don't need to harm relationships, discourage people over things that are minor. We need to major on the majors as prophetic people, as up-and-coming leaders, and the servant of the Lord. First of all, whose servant are we? Are we a servant of the Lord, or are we listening to the enemy in this instance? Is God really saying this is part of our assignment to offer correction to someone? Are we really coming in a spirit of gentleness, as the Holy Spirit would lead us step by step in His will and man timing? Are we teaching patiently, or are we just following a carnal, urgent need to set people straight that's within ourselves? It's really our own flesh. Are we looking in meekness and humility, knowing, except for the grace of God, there go we, and maybe we have gone that way before, and are we looking to restore them? And this is my key word, as far as I'm concerned. I look to see if someone's motive is to restore. Is their motive because they just can't stand it and this person is exposed? Is their motive to set them straight? Is their motive to show them that I'm right and you're wrong? Or is it truly to restore that person for their own good? It's a motive truly out of love. And I want to just mention a couple of things at the beginning. The Bible clearly says there is no excuse for you, O man, who judges your brother. God has not given us His judgment seat. He's not given it given it to any individual on the planet. He doesn't make any exceptions. He says there is no excuse for having a judgmental attitude. So we'll be talking about what it is to have true discernment, but I have a whole program on that, so we're not going to do it in length. You can find an article on true discernment versus criticism and judgment on crosswalklife.com if you'd like to go there and put that in the search box. What we want to do tonight is look at examples in the Bible where God himself felt it necessary to correct people. Many times the things that we want to correct people about, if it's coming from us and not the Holy Spirit, are just things that annoy us, things that we get fearful about. You know, we're afraid that they're in some material, it's going to throw the whole church off. But many times, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll say, wait. You know, I will win them with my kindness. I give them a long space of time to repent. And many times, if God does reveal the stumbling point, the weakness, the failure in a man's or woman's heart to us, if we ask him humbly, what is my part in this? He'll say, to intercede, to bear their burden, to loose them from all that sin and to bind them to the very heart of God, and that we're to demonstrate a restorative attitude toward them. But yes, there are many places in the Old Testament, and I'm going to cite a few in the New, where people just had to keep going their own way until God did bring correction into their life. And, you know, I hope, one of my prayers, I imagine yours is too, is that I will never be so stubborn and disobedient that God would have made me one of the examples in the Old Testament. But on the other hand, there's a lot of famous saints on this list. And so I think rather than backing off from them, I should say, well, we all make mistakes. We all need some correction now and then. And the real question is, if we're going to be there for our brothers and sisters, how do we do it? Another good example that I'd like to refer to is in Revelation 2, 3, and 4, where we have the letters to the churches. And these are perfect illustrations of the sandwich principle. In the sandwich principle, you've got you hear the Spirit of the Lord saying to each church what their strong points are. I appreciate this in you. I appreciate that you took a stand here, or you didn't do that, or you did do this. And you'll see that the Spirit of the Lord appreciated them in several ways and then said, but one thing I have against you. This is an excellent model for us, that if God does say that he wants to use our mouth to offer correction, and I say offer because we are not God, we're not the Holy Spirit, it's his job to convict, and if he wants to work through us, then we need to know if we have a measure of rule in that person's life, if we have permission to speak into their life. God doesn't force himself hardly ever on anyone, and we certainly are not in a position to do that, just being one of the children. He's the Father and we're the children. But in Revelation, we'll see that sandwich principle where on either side of a correction, there are praises, there are appreciation, there's acknowledgement of the service or the good in that person. Because we all tend to remember a criticism many years longer than we do praise anyway. So we need to take extra effort, is what God is demonstrating in Revelation, that we would continually appreciate that person. Now, some of us, we're around the same people a lot, and so we need to give that person appreciation often. You know, thank you for doing that. I don't know what I'd do without this, you know, and appreciate their part in the body of Christ. But okay, so let's get down to the subject. What we're looking at tonight is an example of where God did see that correction was necessary, because I'll just admit to you again, many, many times you'll be aware of things that's going on. You'll ask God, doesn't somebody need to correct them? He'll say, no, I've got it. I've got it. Let me handle it. And he'll work through their circumstances, or he'll work through consequences, and he may use someone else. But beware, I'll say this, beware of someone that's given to criticizing other people, that's given to accusing them, that's given to judging and condemning them. Beware, because I believe that person has weed seeds of their own, that they're in trouble. And we need to look. Anytime someone, if we're the leader, you know, someone wants to bring criticism against someone and they want to share it with us, we really need to look at, is that person motivated by love and restoration? Are they really? Or are they just can't wait, you know, in this mood where they just can't wait to offer criticism? So let's look at Elijah. I'm going to refer to some of the same examples that Prophet Rita and I used when we were talking about how God trains up prophets and things to avoid. And I'm going to use some of these same examples because these are the examples in the Bible. But this time I'm going to be emphasizing it a little bit differently. I'm going to be showing what God tended to correct people for, and it was strong enough to him that he felt to put it in the Bible. So first of all, we've got self-pity. Elijah had obeyed God in some of the most astounding ways that day, and taking the jawbone of a donkey and slaying all these false prophets, and oh, what a victory. And then one woman, albeit she was the queen, you know, threatens him, and he runs. I mean, he runs, and he is in his cave of self-pity. So what does God do? Now, these other people may have mocked him. They may have said, well, you coward, what are you doing here, running before a woman? You know, you're wimping out here at the last minute. And people can be just harsh in the way they talk to someone that's actually tired and worn out. You know, be aware of being tired and worn out after hard ministry. But what did God do? He sends ravens to feed him. Now, this is the kindness of God. And he does tell him to get out of his cave and to get going, but he feeds him first. So take notes. In Ezekiel and Jeremiah, you see two prophets that have a persecution complex. Many ministers, many individuals, spouses, you name it, we can get a persecution complex. And we're getting out of the spirit. We're feeling put upon. We're not joyfully serving the Lord. Or we're afraid. As he had to tell Ezekiel and Jeremiah, are you afraid of their faces? Are you afraid of their words? Don't be afraid. You know, revere the Lord. Know that if I'm speaking through you, you need not give in to a spirit of fear. Now, if you have some questions, I want to encourage you to put them in the chat room and any comments, and we'll be addressing those in a few minutes. Prophetic people and fivefold ministers in general can start murmuring about suffering because it's lonely at the top sometimes. When you say you hear the Lord, not everybody understands that they're not where you are. Or whatever. You know, maybe your personality's got some rough edges and you're suffering because of that. But the Bible says the godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. So we need to just get over it. We need to know that because we're saved, born-again people, because we're Christians, does not mean we are exempt from suffering. Everybody suffers. Sometimes when they're innocent, sometimes when they're guilty. God had to correct Abraham for disobeying his prophecy. In Genesis 13, we see that. It's not a long prophecy, but he missed some of the main points. You know, God said, get up and go, and we're not really sure if he got up and went because he managed to take his father and all his father's riches with him. I don't want to be judgmental of Abraham, but, you know, get up and go. Boy, I know Hebrews don't see time like we do, but wow, if you're going to take that many flocks and that many people to tend them and your family and everybody, like he was commanded not to do, by the way, then you're in disobedience. We know at least that he was in disobedience for taking his family against orders. Consequences? Oh, yeah. Not only did he have some difficulties with Lot, but he had to fight a real war because of Lot's choice, because he brought Lot along. I mean, a real war with weapons and lots and lots and lots of people involved. This is serious. this is just one of the consequences. You may be more aware of how he compromised trying to fulfill the prophecy himself by bringing Sarah's handmaiden on board to have the child, etc., how he wound up lying and all. But tonight we're talking about what did God correct people for? And he, one way he does that is by letting them see the consequences, letting them see, in your prophecy, I told you not to bring the family. I told you to go to Bethel, and you went to Bethel, yeah, technically, but then you went straight on to Egypt because it was more prosperous there. And, you know, I've told you not to lie, and you were lying, and then you were lying again. And then you were trying to do it in your own strength, fulfill this prophecy and have this child. And so God let him suffer consequences each time. And sometimes he doesn't send a prophet to nail your toes to the floor, and he won't send you in. He'll just have you pray for that person. Now, Eli the priest, a good example of raising spoiled sons and suffering the consequences. In this case, God did send a prophet. He did have someone speak it to him. And in 1 Samuel 2:33, poor Samuel had to prophesy to him that his sons will die in their prime. Now, this is not something that I release people to minister as death. We don't minister, who people are going to marry, when they're going to have babies, geographical moves and where they're moving. We certainly don't minister about death unless you are a seasoned prophet that has been to the school of the prophets and you have been mentored and you have been released by people that you've been truly, truly submitted to, because these are serious, serious words. So tonight we're just talking about general correction when you see your friend caught in an error, what's appropriate for you to do. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:5, be careful about revealing sin to an overseer, but open rebuke is better than secret love. And so sometimes out of fear, or what we call shyness, we let people go on in error and don't say anything, so the opposite extreme is no good either. Now, Moses had an interesting sin that he wound up being overprotective. After he was the deliverer, after he stood up to Pharaoh all those times, he got him through the Red Sea. Then when God wanted to kill him, Moses was overprotective. And so this is kind of unusual, I think. But in Exodus, 32:7-14, we see that it was serious. It was serious. When God wanted to chastise the people and Moses pled and pled for him not to, then Moses wound up getting totally exasperated with him, struck the rock when he wasn't supposed to, and he wound up canceling his own prophetic word and not going in to the promised land himself. Whoa, think about it. Sometimes God wants to correct people, and you're feeling overprotective, so it's equally as important to just say yes, sir, whether God says it's time to correct or not to correct. And sometimes we don't receive the correction of the Lord for ourselves, and we cry and cry, like Isaiah prophesied to Hezekiah that he was going to die. And he cried and cried and cried, and he managed to get God to give him 15 more years. But if you read that story, you'll find out that not only he, but the whole nation would have been better off if he had not begged and begged for more time, and he had let God determine his time. Selah. Now, Jonah is a clear case that we're all very aware of. Jonah was judgmental. He didn't really want to deliver the word that if they repented, that they and their city could be saved. He tried to go on a cruise instead of obeying God. God had to very graphically correct him by putting him in the belly of the whale for 3 days. But, you know, some people just don't learn from correction. Yeah, he wound up giving the word. Then he was mad and pouting because the people did repent, and he thought it tarnished his image. Now, beware, God may have you prophesy to someone to repent. You may give them a word of correction, you may be, you know, authorized to do it, as Jonah was. But if your own attitude isn't right, if you aren't happy when they're restored after repenting, you can wind up like Jonah. He's more grieved over a gourd wilting than he is the potential death of a whole city. And we never see any record of Jonah being used again. We see no more record of Jonah being used again. Don't know. Another example that you may be aware of is Achan. Everybody went to war. Achan was just one of many. But he got this attitude that he was privileged and he did not have to obey God, and he took part of the spoil, and he had a greed or a lust for prosperity or something, and he stole that and he hid it under his tent and he brought a curse on himself and his whole family. Now in this case, he knew before he did it that God had said a lot, you know, he had drawn a line what the soldiers were allowed to do and not do. And he brought severe judgment. And in new movements, I want to say, there's more correction and more severe judgment. When you're taking new land like they were, God sets a new standard and a higher standard and a precedent that you have to obey me to win these battles. And not only did he have to correct Achan, you know, Achan didn't voluntarily repent. He didn't own up to this right away. And he was stoned, his whole family was stoned, and then they were burned. You think this made a statement? You think God was trying to say it is critical that we be in agreement, that we be in relationship, that your whole life goal is supposed to be in communion with me and to glorify me. Wow. The children of Israel, in fact, had disobeyed the prophetic word. It looked worse to them, you know, to go into the land, fight the giant, and they couldn't seem to focus on God's promises and getting the milk and the honey and everything. And did God correct them? Oh, yeah. He waited for them to die off, except for Joshua and Caleb. He waited for that generation to die off. God can get to the end of his patience with our disobedience. He had already shown them miracle after miracle with Pharaoh's challenges. He had taken them through the Red Sea. He had fed them by hand, basically, with quail. He had given them everything they needed, and yet they still didn't trust God. So beware. Beware. We've got to choose to trust God. There's, as the old joke is, there just isn't anybody else up there. And then Judas sold Jesus out, wanting basically a refund. If you do the research, I'm told that this 30 pieces of silver was about equal to a refund of the money that he may have lost following Jesus for 3 years. And then, you know, he probably had a bad motive of personal ambition. He seemed more concerned about how much was in the offering bag, and he was pilfering it, and he was criticizing others for, you know, spending money on anointing Jesus instead of giving it to the offering bag. So he had a lot of motives that were not Christ-like. And not only did he abandon Christ, but when the conviction of the Lord came to him, he wound up committing suicide and surely aborting whatever destiny he might have had. I can't prove one way or the other about that. But Lucifer is the extreme example of pride. He had everything made in heaven, and yet it wasn't enough. You know, it's, I will be exalted like the Most High. And he was into pride and self-importance and promotion. And so even though he was able to take a third of the angels with him, he is representative of the root of almost all sin that needs correction, and that would be pride and selfishness. And he had to be cast down and out like lightning. He had to be made an example of to the entire universe that pride, God resists the proud, the self-important, that seeks promotion, self-promotion. And, of course, this is something that we are all tempted with. You know, we wouldn't mind being promoted now and then. Peter, heard the prophecy that he would deny Jesus three times and went on and did it. You know, sometimes we just kick ourselves because we were warned and then we fell in the hole anyway. But the difference is between Peter and Judas is that Peter repented. And just like he had denied Jesus around that whole fire, he was also restored around one. And here's the heart of Jesus. Building a fire, he probably remembered, he probably made the association and denied him around the fire. Now here's Jesus waiting around the fire for him. And Jesus asked him three questions, just like Peter denied him three times. He gave him opportunity to say three times that I love you, Lord. Oh, yes, I'll feed your sheep. This is the heart of restoration. Jesus is not recorded to have any big corrective conversation with him. And this is something that we need to know. Most people that need correction have already felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They already know what they've done wrong. They may need a little bit more revelation about it, but pretty much you'll hear that my prophetic words and any seasoned prophets, they don't go into this long tale about what all you've done wrong and how stupid can you be, and they're not harsh and condemning. Because people know most of the time. A few people don't have consciences and have other problems, but most people, they're already scared spitless when they're going to receive a prophetic word. They're scared that God's going to nail them publicly, and you'll almost never see God do it. And the answer is to prophesy to the result. That means you prophesy the result that they will experience, that we will all see if they choose to obey God, if they choose to receive the prophetic word, if they choose to believe God or to trust God. And anybody could prophesy problems. You don't have to be a prophet or a prophetic person to do that. Anybody can pick out what's wrong. What we need to do is to really be mentored by someone who can teach us how to prophesy to results, the good that God wants to do, their potential, their potential. So when you prophesy to someone or minister to them, it's very important to ask God, what is the root of the problem? What was their motive? And not to assume that you know. You might just be projecting onto them something that you've experienced before. But, for instance, are they a Judas or an Achan that was into self-promotion and self-exaltation or, you know, blessing themselves regardless of how disobedient it is? Or are they just a James or a John? See, James and John were self-promoting. It's true. They wanted to be special. They wanted to be exalted above the others. They had wrong motives. But it wasn't quite the same as like a Judas or an Achan. And we need to be careful when we're prophesying to people that we don't assume the worst. Then we're at fault. We're the one that needs correction. Paul was a murderer, in God's name. But he was a zealot. I mean, he was zealous. And what did God do? He knocked him off his horse, literally. He blinded him. But here's the kindness of God again. He calls Ananias, who is scared spitless, to prophesy to the murderer Paul, who is authorized by this leadership to kill Christians. And he calls Ananias to prophesy to him, to give him hope and a vision, and to heal his eyes. Now here's a perfect example of if God's going to use you to minister correction, he's going to want you to do it in a restorative, redemptive way that shows them hope and vision and God's love. Ye which are spiritual, the Bible says, ye who are spiritual, go to the other and restore them with an attitude of meekness. Now Balaam is one of the few people in the Bible as an individual that is called a false prophet. But again, it's not what our flesh would think of as a false prophet, because actually his message was technically the truth. Where he went wrong was in his character, in his motive. It wasn't wisdom what he did. It didn't bear good fruit. But he was called a false prophet because even though God told him, no, you can't go over there and prophesy to them unless, well, okay, you can if they come get you, if they send men for you. But they didn't. Balaam just had to disobey. He had to rationalize it all away because he wanted that money. So motive it's what God takes more seriously. And a lot of times we nitpick at people's doctrine, and, you know, if you're as old as I am, or maybe not, but you've probably changed your doctrine before. You weren't trying to be anything false or hurt anybody. But, see, God is coming down on the motive. You disobeyed me on purpose because your motives stink. But even then he didn't say it that way. Fail and disobeyed. But God tried to offer him correction. He sent that angel to block his way. The donkey was willing to obey. Hello? Other examples are like that's more common, is like Jacob. He left because of conflicts with potential family, with his own family, unresolved conflicts. He gets this negative attitude. He thinks everybody's against him. But, again, God sends an angel to wrestle him to the ground, leaves him with a limp. Just a little reminder to quit being the supplanter, that's what his name means, and to be submitted to me. Joseph just had a sin that you might not take that seriously. I believe he was prideful when he boasted to his brothers. He set himself up. And we don't need to take our prophetic words and be bragging on them to everybody, or we can wind up in the same shape. But while he was in prison for so many years, he learned to be patient and positive and forgiving and humble, and that God was able to bring one of those subtleties into his life where he was promoted overnight. It didn't seem like it, though, after that many years. So it behooves us, above all things, to be humble. Humble yourself before the Lord. Don't want to be like the scribes and Pharisees that were jealous and going into hatred and plotting against Jesus. He had to confront them in public. Matthew 23, read it. He says, not only you, but your mama. You know, and I don't advise people to confront leadership in public, but Jesus was in a different situation because he actually, the scribes and Pharisees were not his leadership. He was theirs. Another thing that might surprise you is why Jesus had to say to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, I don't believe he was calling Peter Satan. I believe that he was speaking to Satan, but I'm sure it was quite embarrassing to Peter. But Peter was trying to coach Jesus, tell him what to do. He was being maybe overprotective, telling him not to go to Jerusalem or whatever. But not unknowingly, he was in agreement with Satan's plan. And so we have to be real careful about coaching Jesus. And I want to say that a whole lot of people's prayers, they're praying to God that he will do his job description. They're begging him to do it as if he can't be counted on to do his job description. You know, please guide us, please direct us, please take care of my children and all this. And we just need to have more confidence in God and do more listening than talking. Then there was Ananias and Sapphira. They were dishonest givers. So you can give. And to give half of the price of the land sold under ordinary circumstances would be an awesome thing that not many people would do. However, they wanted to appear better than they were. And this is another problem that a lot of us can have is we embellish or we talk evangelistically or, you know, we've just got to exaggerate and try to make ourselves look better than we are. Lying to the Holy Spirit. And again, because this is a new movement, this is new standards being set, God didn't just correct them, did he? Struck them dead. So be careful. Do not lie to the Holy Spirit. Do not lie about what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Apostle Peter was corrected in public by Paul for having double standards and consequently a double message. You know, he was preaching one thing and demonstrating one thing to the Jews, another one among the Gentiles. And Paul confronted him publicly. Now, this is something else that I must never do. Don't advise you to do it. But because they were both apostles, I guess it was doing so much damage that the Holy Spirit said yes. He's doing it publicly, confront him publicly. But most of the time, I would say that I stick by the rules in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 that the prophetic word, you know, should be an exhortation, consolation. It should edify and build up only in private. And the only time that I would give a strong confrontive word as if I had already cleared it with their leadership. Now, maybe Paul was, in a sense, his leadership. I don't know. At least he was a peer leader. But we need to be really careful that we're delivering a word of correction, not only according to what God's usual will is, but in the way he wants it done and in his timing and place. Then there are many other smaller situations, like Paul got exasperated with John Mark and would send him home. Even among the apostles there was conflict. But the point is, he was restored again. Amen? He was restored again. So I want to repeat this verse again as we close. 2 Timothy 2:23-25. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. See, when you sin, when you're in disagreement with God, when you're in disobedience, you're opposing yourself too. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that helped. No, I didn't cover the subject thoroughly. I wanted to give some examples in the Bible. Do I believe that the role of the New Testament prophet is identical to the Old Testament? No, not exactly. But you're familiar with those stories, so I thought it could help you. And then I want to emphasize again, I think one of the biggest guidelines that was helpful to me is when you prophesy, ask God how to deliver it. Deliver it in love so the person is more healed and not hurt, because sometimes a person can hear the correction so clearly that they stumble upon it. They're so mortified, humiliated, or whatever, especially if other people are around, that it's hard for them to swallow it and receive it because they're so hurt by it. And I would submit to you that many times, if you really study the prophetic words that Prophet Rita and I and other people have in our archives on Now Face TV under Schools Ministry, the radio archives, or under Block Talk Radio Archives, if you really study those words looking for this principle, you'll find the sandwich principle. You'll find it's building that person up. You'll find it's making it clear that it was the plan of the enemy. You know, we're not blaming them completely. We know it was the plan of the enemy to trip them up. But you'll find us couching that word of correction among positive things, but also you may not even hear it clearly as a word of correction. For instance, say a person is known for slicing and dicing, and they're kind of harsh and blunt, and I'm direct, so I'll pick on that. You're too direct. You'll hear us prophesying something like, the Lord says that I've called you to be my mouthpiece, and I want to express my heart through you, and I'm honing you and preparing you to be my voice, and to it will be a voice of restoration, of preparing and making ready my people, of healing their hearts, healing the brokenhearted, of setting them free. And you'll hear all this positive stuff, and you'll think, how can that be true of that person? That person's got the sharpest tongue. Well, see, that's just it. God will prophesy to their potential if they'll obey him and walk in the Spirit. Because whatever our strength is when we're in the Spirit, when we're in the flesh, it will be just the opposite. So the person that's prophetic, that's called to the prophetic, has a tremendous power in their tongue to restore people, to get them on the right track, to give them new vision, and to cause them to want to repent of the ways they're misusing their gifting or their influence or their power and authority. But if we just crucify them publicly, saying, well, you're just harsh. I don't know why anybody would ever want ministry from you, because you just cut them down. Then that person's going to be so wounded, they may never, ever recover. But if we prophesy that I've called you to be my voice and to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free, and I'm putting the words in your mouth, and whenever you open your mouth, if you say, Lord, here am I, speak through me, I will speak through you, and there'll be a supernatural power to heal and restore in simple words that I would speak through you. Now they've got a whole vision. got a whole vision of being conscious of submitting their tongue to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think I'm going to have to get a drink of water. I hope that was helpful. Again, if you want to know more about what's the difference between true discernment and a critical, judgmental attitude, look it up on crosswalklife.com in the search box at the top of the page. Just put in true discernment, true spiritual discernment, and that article will come up, and you can see just some excellent insights. Some I got from Apostle Barbara Yoder, and just excellent insights that will help you understand that the devil is trying to pervert your gift, your ministry of restoration, and make it into one that's only critical and judgmental. So, if you would like to receive prophetic ministry tonight, I promise you I don't plan on majoring on correction. I seldom want to. Sometimes I do correct people and don't know it because we just open our mouth and he builds it, and we don't really know the context. But I promise you I'll try to just edify and console and exhort. Hallelujah. If you or your friends would like to call in, the number is 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. I have several callers that have already pushed that number one and are ready to be called upon to receive ministry. If you want to receive ministry, you can either wait or go ahead and push that number one. Here comes some more. Excuse me. And I want to remind you that when you're on the air, I'm going to unmute you, you know, call out your area code. When you're on the air, remember to mute your computer. If you've got your computer on, turn the sound off so we don't get an echo, we don't hear the background noise, etc. Does that make sense? Okay. Area code 917, welcome to the program. Area code 917. Okay. I don't hear a thing. Does anyone else? Okay. I'm going to redial with another phone. Sorry, that's not working. Chat room, somebody help me. Can you hear 917 saying anything? Because I don't. Let me try one more. Area code 215, welcome to the program.
Hi there, Carlotta. It's Helene. I'm just going to be very vague. It's a lunch situation with a large group of people, and I usually choose to avoid it, but once a week I go with them. So that's all I'm going to tell you. It's unpleasant.
Well, I was going to minister to you. Is that okay?
All right.
All right. We are always going to be surrounded with situations. And what God does is he allows the circumstances, situations, and other people's choices to mold and make us. He cares about us and molding and making the minister more than he does anything else. Hallelujah. He loves you first. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Elaine, I hear the Lord saying that the enemy had wanted to intimidate you, to hold you back, to cause confusion, to do anything he could to squelch and silence you. And he knew that you have the talent, you have the training, and you have the ability, but he wanted to silence you. And but I see a picture of you just running full tilt with a banner, and you're waving this banner. You know, his banner over you is love. You're waving a freedom banner. I hate to reference an R-rated movie, but like in Braveheart, you know, freedom. And the Lord says, I am calling you. and I'm bringing you out. And I'm imparting to you even more, even tonight, the assurance that my banner over you is love, it's perfect love, and that you can go into those situations knowing that you are my love to them. You are my love to them. And I'm giving you more and more clarity that you can discern things rightly, you can discern people rightly, and you'll be able to, it'll almost be like you're an observer sometimes. You'll know that this is a pop test, isn't it, God? You know, you're testing me. This is about, am I your expression of perfect love to them? And the Lord says that I'm just bringing you to a new place of freedom, and there'll be many steps to it, and there's a training and there's a mentoring to it. But just know that you're just beginning. But the Lord says, I am calling you to be that one that runs with that banner. And you will see that day come, and you will enjoy that freedom. And you will enjoy the ability to be my expression of love, a real demonstration of it to people that, you know, they might think they're an expression of love, or they may think they love me, and they might in their own way. But the Lord says, I'm purifying your heart. And each of these situations, just know that it's part of my training school for you. It's because I love you. Because I love you too much to leave you the way you are, but I am preparing you to be that person that even though you didn't have the model for it, the mentoring may be coming later in life, but you will be, if you choose to be, my expression of my love, and each one of these is part situations is part of my faithfulness to you to teach and to train you and to prepare you to be my voice.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
All right.
So don't worry, because it's not really about them. It's not really about the issues that they bring up. It's, you just can kind of look inside your shirt and say, Lord, be yourself through me. Be your perfect love through me. And you may not say anything at all. You might just sit there and hold the keys to the kingdom and pray loosing and binding prayers, loosing them from sinful reactions and binding them to the very heart of God.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Undercover agent.
Yeah. Not intimidated, just undercover.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Thank
I hope you.
You
have a wonderful night.
All right.
Okay, be blessed.
Thank you.
In some ways, you might say, well, that's true for a whole lot of us. And it is. And it is. God lets us go through all kinds of things, all kinds of experiences. He has us in his training school. His training school. And he is our tutor. The Holy Spirit is our tutor. And he's faithful to every last one of us. Let me give 917 one more chance. 917, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
I can't really hear you. Can you speak much louder? Louder, please. Apparently we have technical trouble.
No.
I'm so sorry. Maybe a different phone would do it next time. Okay. Area code 717, welcome to the program.
Hello, this is Pastor Pamela.
Pastor Pamela.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, except I don't have a co-host and I get hoarse from doing all the talking. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm a good friend of Elaine's and just wanted to call in and connect for the first time. Praise God.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
We have a little ministry here called Everblessed Ministry. We're all about restoration, and I've just been reading about your teachings, and I echo them as well. So just wanted to bless you, and I don't know if any God has any words for us, but
yeah, don't tell me too
let
much.
You know that I love having a warrior around me that just wants to go and get it done.
All right. As long as it's in love, it works. Thank you,
yes.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Pamela, I just see you with a shield of faith, and that shield is just growing and growing. not because you're hiding behind it, but God has been doing things to strengthen your faith muscles and giving you opportunities. But that's in love, too. That's in love, too. And while the enemy would throw those fiery darts and has had many plans to hinder you and to hold you back and to try to cause situations that would hinder your progress, the Lord says, I'm redeeming every one of them for good. Every experience that you've gone through, I am here to redeem it and to take the pain out of it and to increase. And I see that shield of faith growing. And the Lord says that as the tribulations increase this year, and they will for everybody, that you will be in that place, if you choose to obey me, you'll be in that place where you'll be the woman of faith. And you've wondered, will I be the woman of faith that I really want to be in tribulation? And you will. You will. Just keep walking in agreement with me. Allow me to temper you, like steel, you know, is dipped into hot and to cold. Allow me to temper you because I'm strengthening you like the railroad tie that does not crack no matter how hot it is or how cold it is. Allow me to temper you because you're just going to be that walking shield of faith, and that people will be inspired, and people that will want to give up or to quit or to turn their back on me, says the Lord, as the trials and temptations and tribulations increase this year, they're going to be able to look and to say, no, I want to be a walking shield of faith like Pastor Pamela.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, for those who don't know, I'll say that's one of those words. It's almost giving you the correction ahead of time. But it's kind of one of those words that you don't envy, but you know we all need. It's like, just how big are these tribulations that are going to temper me and, you know, strengthen my faith? Do you want to go ahead and tell me, God says, nope. We'll take them one at a
time. Amen. Well, we're going through a lot of changes here, and we're waiting on God's word because we knew we wanted to change our ministry. We've ordained a few pastors that come through here, and now we're five wide, and we're like just waiting for God's word, what the next glory level is. So I really covet this word from him through you, and I thank you so much.
Well, I've never prophesied about being a live walking shield of faith before, but I hope that a whole lot of people will take that chance and say, Lord, you know, I don't want to be the one that buckles under pressure, you know.
Okay.
I want to be the one that's able to have a consistent faith in you that gives other people hope.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, sister.
Well, thank you very much. Have a marvelous night. And I want to say to all of you that if you listen to the program that will download within 30 minutes after we close, if you listen to the program, if you take note of the time that you received your prophetic word, then you can use that play and pause button and go back and write it down. Make sure you get these little prepositions right. For instance, if I prophesy that millions will come through your hands, don't write it down as to your hands. You know, each word in a prophetic word is important. And am I flattering myself when I say that? No, because I really don't know the application of these words. I'm a novel prophet, and I just get it like dictation, and I just give what I get. So it'll be up to you to walk it out. And many times you receive a prophetic word, there'll be some parts of it you don't even relate to at all. And you, or you don't want to relate to, like that tribulation. You don't want to know, but we're all going to know. So we might as well know that God is always on our side, that he hopes that we will be on his side, and that we can walk in agreement in his power and authority. Amen. Okay. Area code 330, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Carlotta. This is Pastor Bob.
Good evening. Bob, welcome to the program. Have you ever been on this program before?
I haven't called in before, no.
Oh. Oh, boy. Do you have, like, a one-sentence prayer request or anything?
No, I thought I'd maybe share a little testimony and demonstrate that a good deal of what happens in the Old Testament can still happen today. And I hope maybe that somebody else gets blessed by it.
Okay.
I wasn't always a minister. I had a very successful business career as a chemist and product development person. But my success was very great because I relied on God for insight in all the work that I did. And for 20 years, I gave God all the credit and glory for everything that was successful. But starting about the 21st year, I began to take more and more of the credit personally and professionally and less credit to the Lord. I had become arrogant and impatient and self-centered. And by the 26th year, I think the Lord was impatient with me because I ignored at least one warning and possibly two. And the Lord said, okay, that's enough. I'm not going to have any more of this. You're not heading in the direction I want you. So he took it all away, the career, the success, the business. I never worked again as a chemist. And I literally had to start over. And I had to repent and reestablish my relationship with the Lord and satisfy Him that I was serious. But He's faithful and He's good, and He saw to it that I had the opportunity to go into ministry on scholarship, and I have a wonderful life, and I'm very, very happy with what happened. I certainly was a little painful, but I was deserving of the pain.
Facing with the Lord is certainly better than Him ignoring us, preparing us to the house, no?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that. That's a good, short testimony. And I think that everyone, as a teacher, I've got to stop giving some words here for testimonies. I think that everyone should take their life testimony like that and condense it down to a couple minutes like Bob did. Now, we didn't plan this. It's the Holy Spirit leading him. But everyone should do that. We should have a concise testimony that makes it clear that we were sinful and needed a Savior, how God tried to win us over, how He did, and how He restored us. And whether it's a salvation testimony or whether you're already saved, you should get it condensed down so that it's a short enough time that we get our point across, but we don't wear the person out, you know, with talking about ourselves forever. And I just say, hallelujah, that was a great example.
Well, thank you.
We overcome by the word of our testimony, and everybody I minister to them, I encourage them to write a testimony, because we need to learn to give the glory to God, like you said. It's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Would you also like to receive ministry tonight?
Sure.
Okay. Father, I just thank you for Bob. Thank you for Pastor Bob and the ministry that you have him in now. I thank you that that he is actually, what I'm hearing, Bob, is that you are not on plan B. That it's not that God planned for you to resist or to get vainglorious or any of those. I'm not saying that. But I hear the Lord saying that I knew what you would do. I knew the choices that you were making. So first thing is, don't let the devil tell you that you have been derailed off plan A forever and that you're on plan B. Because the Lord says, I know all things, the end from the beginning. I've planned around everything. I'm always in redemption mode, just always. And the Lord says that I have called you to new areas of ministry. I'm taking the same skills or the same disciplines that you used before, but now we're applying them in new areas. It's that same excellence, that same attention to detail, that same understanding of my laws, but we're applying them in different arenas. And the Lord says that I'm broadening your sphere of influence, and I'm trusting you with more. And actually, I have already moved you into areas of ministry where you may have your focus on the local impact, but I know the ripple effect of some of the things that I'm calling you to do, and that you are already making contributions in the kingdom of God that are reaching back. And I won't puff you up by letting you know all the time. But while you may think what you're contributing is not that great, and you may just count the local heads that you can count, but that's not all there is to it. And the Lord says, when you obey me and make the contributions that I'm asking you to make now and in the future, you'll find out later that you reach thousands and thousands of people. And the Lord says, I'm not like a man that I would be into numbers, but I did so love the world that I gave my son. I'm still looking for the whole world to be one. And the Lord says, so yes, you have a local impact, but you are having a global impact too. But all you need to do is just be obedient day by day. Just continue on in the character that I've built in you, the values and the just the cooperation I've taught you with my Holy Spirit, and you will see that you're sowing far more seeds than you know, and I'm thankful for water and to fertilize and to harvest. And the Lord says it's my pleasure to work through you, because I would much rather work through a yield vessel. A yield vessel. It's my pleasure, man.
Well, praise God.
Amen. You've got a good voice for radio, Bob.
Pardon?
You've got a good voice for radio.
Thank you. But one other thing I want to say, and I've used your resources on your websites, and I cannot even put into words how much they've been helpful, how much I've been blessed by them, how much they've improved my understanding, my knowledge, and my relationship with the Lord. Thank you.
You're very welcome, and it's just humbling to know that most of the articles that I have written, they're for things I either learned the hard way, or a whole lot of them I learned as I ministered to someone that day. I didn't have the answers, and I just said, Holy Spirit, what do I say? You know, and He gave insight.
Sure.
He gave insight.
Sure.
Well,
thank you very much, Carlotta.
We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. You're always faithful to us. That even when we're not faithful to you, you draw us back. That you're always in redemption mode. We can praise you, Jesus. We thank you that the blood hasn't lost its power. That no matter what our patterns or our failures or our destructive patterns have been, that we can always take them to the cross and ask you to bring them to death. And you're faithful to do it. Hallelujah. Area code 410, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Valerie.
Hello, Valerie. How are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm good. I give second wind about this time.
Great.
What's the Lord telling you?
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Okay.
It's what I've kept reading over and over as I've checked Facebook posts today.
Right.
I kept reading over and over again. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Have the Holy Spirit confirm through many sources. Hmm. And when we're aligned with God, we can be even more sure of that, because then we're not shooting ourselves in the foot with our own mouth and weapons.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anything else you'd like to share?
Anything else?
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Um, No, the no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's been pretty strong. I've been seeing it over and over again today. That's been jumping out at me.
Amen. I hear the Lord saying, rise up, girl. Rise up. Because that is a message that's becoming part of your life message. And you're going to use it so, so many times this year as you listen to my voice, as you ask for discernment to know what is in people's hearts, what strategies the enemy is using against them, saying, Lord, you know, how can I give them hope? What can I answer? And they need to know that when they're right with God, when they're in agreement with me, when they're walking in the Spirit, that a curse cannot light without a cause, and they need not be afraid.
Yeah.
And many are crying out to the Lord, saying, who will put a roof over my head? Who will feed me? How will I get clothes? You know, I can see us on this quick descent into bad things. You know, we can't depend on our government to bail us out. We can't depend on much of anything but you, God. And God's saying, I'm the one that's going to feed you and clothe you and put the roof over your head. But most of all, you need to keep your tongue and attitude and heart right with me. Because then no weapon that the enemy brings against you can prosper when you're right with me. Because you're under my covering. You're under the fountain of my blessing. And there's nothing that the enemy or any individual on the planet can do to limit my faithfulness to you.
Ma'am.
Even though I'm taking you through a time of discipline now, and I don't just let you do whatever you want and say whatever you want, and sometimes you feel like even the funds are restricted, the Lord says, I'm just teaching you to feel the nudge of my thigh. And what that means is, if you've ever ridden horses, that a good horse learns his master, and he doesn't have to jerk him around with the reins or a strong bit in his mouth. He can just nudge him with his thigh, and he knows where to go, stop, turn, whatever. The Lord says, I've been training you to be my war horse. And a war horse will run toward the battle and isn't put off by the flames or the sound and the large booms. The war horse is so bonded to the master that every time they will risk their life and they will run toward the battle, even though people were being killed right and left in front of them, they would still run toward it because they had perfect confidence in the battle. And so your confidence will be in me and what I say, and you won't be worried about the fiery darts of the word that come against you, because you will know that when I am right with the Lord, no weapon formed against me will prosper.
Amen.
I couldn't do much but amen that. Wow.
Amen.
We're going to need that. We're going to know that it doesn't matter what leaders say, the government says, other nations say, it doesn't matter what the financial economy is, but we are kingdom people. We live out of the kingdom economy, and what determines our future and who we are is what God.
Ma'am.
Hallelujah.
Ma'am. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Good.
I think there's going to be some God dreams to go with that. You're going to be dreaming this.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Have a great night.
You too. God bless. Thank you.
Bless you. Now, I want to say that at this very moment, I have lots of callers, but I don't believe I have anybody that wants ministry that has pushed that little one. So if you want ministry tonight, please push the one that puts up a little notice on my switchboard here and lets me know that you're not just calling in to listen, that you would like ministry. So this is your opportunity. And if you've already received ministry, if you push that one again, there you go, that'll take your name off the list. That's less confusing to me. Oh, I'm going to try 917 one more time to see if they're on the same phone or a different one. Area code 917, welcome to the program. don't know what that is. I cannot hear this caller. So sorry. All right. So I would like to just encourage you to consider what we've talked about tonight and to look on the website. If you'll look at crosswalklife.com, and you can look at the search box at the top of the page and type in there true discernment. Type in there whatever it is you need to know more about. There might be an article there already. Between crosswalklife.com and nowfaith.tv, I think we have, I haven't counted them, maybe 300-500 articles. And on nowfaith.tv, our ministry training school, if you click on school, ministry archives, year one, semester one, then you can take our ministry training school for free. Over a year ago, I just felt led to make the whole thing for free. It was a big step of faith. That was part of our income. But we just made it all free because our purpose here is to equip the body of Christ, to mature you, to do what we can, helping you learn things that we learn the hard way. You know, some things are better taught than taught. You can learn it the easy way. But we have recorded videos, and we have over 4 years of them now, and audios, handouts and prayers to help you to learn the easy way and to be prepared, because I just can't say enough what I've been putting on Facebook, what I've been telling individuals, saying in our mentoring classes on Friday morning and Saturday afternoon. We're mentoring on uzu.com now so that we can see each other and we don't feel so far apart. But what I've been saying is that we need to preach the true gospel. The true gospel of believe and repent. Believe and repent. And too many people are preaching an easy believism. It doesn't involve repentance. It doesn't involve staying right with God. As I said, I've even heard someone teaching that once you've been saved and born again, you never have to repent again. Well, who would want that? Because I want to be in communion with God. I don't want to get out of communion with God and be stuck there. But we're just emphasizing, this is the year to preach, believe, and repent. Because too many people are believing that they're going to heaven. They've heard this, pray this prayer and you'll be saved and go to heaven. And that's, you know, they're not even getting that much out of it. They're not only not making Jesus Lord, they're not only not repenting their sins and having a victorious life. I don't even think they're going to make heaven. They say, well, Billy Graham was saying that he thought 95% of the people that prayed to receive Christ in his meetings, that it didn't last. The fruit, the follow-up showed that it didn't last because they didn't really repent. And part of that is our responsibility to preach, believe, and repent. Hallelujah. Believe and repent. Let's see, we've got a couple more callers here. If you'd like to receive ministry tonight, please push that number one and let me know. And area code 724, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta.
Hello, who have we here?
Your friend Lynn.
Okay, Lynn, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Do you have anything to share tonight?
Well, I don't have anything to share. I just wanted some ministry because I kind of feel pulled in two directions, and I'm not sure sometimes whether the Lord's called me in two areas or whether that's the enemy just trying to waylay me from one ministry source to another ministry source. I just kind of wanted some direction and guidance on that.
Well, I believe that the first word that I heard, Lynn, was flexibility.
Flexibility?
Mm-hmm. To be flexible with the Lord and let him redefine things as you go. Just that flexibility of saying whatever, whenever, anywhere, with anybody, whatever you want, Lord.
Uh-huh.
And I'm listening to see if there's amplification on that one word. I don't know if we're going any further with that.
Uh-huh.
But I hear that flexibility because the Lord says, I know there have been times when you thought you knew my will and then you weren't sure and you've gotten conflicting input and all that. But the Lord says that I am leading you. And in spite of the conflicting input, the Lord says, I will bring clarity and certainty to it. And I'm working that discipline in you that you will not go forward unless you know I'm going. It's like that Old Testament passage where the Lord says, you know, you can go, but I won't go with you. And the way Carlotta puts that is, I won't go unless there's a clearly, clearly green light. But the Lord says, you'll have that flexibility that I can change your plans, you know, with an hour's notice, that you'll be that one that will, I can call upon to minister to the person right in front of you. You'll be that person that is also available, you know, to other ministries. But the Lord says, I'm increasing your ability not only to trust me, but to trust your perception. That the enemy's attacked you in these areas, and he's caused a lot of pain to come in your life because you thought, you know, you knew and then you didn't know. But the Lord says, I'm causing you to have such a great confidence in Christ in you that you can trust your perception, and there'll be a new stability and a new strength that comes out of it. And the Lord says, I've put far more spiritual power and authority in you than you know. But there's got to be a confidence with it and assurance that not only do I hear God, but I know that I know. You know, I know what my place is. I know what my timing is. I know where I'm supposed to be today. And the Lord says, it's me. It's not that I keep trying to change things on you, but I'm exercising you in a flexibility that he's just none of us, you know, that I hear the Lord's voice and he can change my agenda any day, because all I really want my agenda to be is his agenda.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Don't know that that gave you the answer, but...
It did.
It did?
Yeah, it did.
I think the point is, Lord says, I'm building a good bond between me and you.
Great.
And himself and you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be blessed.
Thank you.
Now, any of you that have a testimony, again, it's just awesome to give testimonies. The Lord says we overcome by the word of our testimony. And it's not just kidding. We need to really take that seriously and practice it. And so I encourage people, you know, don't write about what Carlotta did or said, but write a testimony, even if it's just a paragraph, and send it to me or post it on our Facebook, tell somebody, but get used to knowing that we have a call to be overcomers. It doesn't say we're called to be escapers, you know, hiders. We're called to be overcomers, and we overcome not only by the blood of the Lamb and not only by loving our lives not unto death, so with our best choice there is by the word of our testimony. Let's take it seriously and really get in practice. Learn to write a 2 or 3 minute testimony and write the way I teach people, just roughly, not rigidly, but roughly, take that first minute about how badly you needed Jesus' intervention in your life, and the second minute about how he intervened, and he's always the one that speaks us out first, right? And how he found you. And then the last minute about how things have been different since you came into obedience or agreement or salvation or whatever with God. And learn to give frequent testimonies that will make your heart merry and other people too. Because people want to hear that God still intervenes in our lives today. Hallelujah. Oh, here's another caller. We need more people to call in and push that little one, letting them know that you want ministry. Area code 727, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Jan calling from Florida.
Hi, Jan. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing well. Thank you.
You'll notice tonight, since we don't have as many callers. I think the subject of correction scared some people. we've got time for you to share a nugget if you've got one. Did you want to share anything?
Wow. Gee, I just thought of that about a minute ago, and I said, Lord, of course I have lots of testimony, but what part would you have me share? Maybe related to what you were teaching tonight. You know, my husband died a couple years ago, and God kind of put me in as a watchman in a ministry, you know, training me up in those things. And along the lines of what you were teaching about refining me about dealing with those things, and even though perhaps at times even the leadership wouldn't receive what I saw, that I couldn't, you know, respond out of my, I call it my tempers, because there were some really serious situations, and, you know, I didn't know how to warn, but I tried, and God's saying that's all you needed to do, but I can look back and see how he really refined me in my own emotions, I guess, about those things, and anger about things that I saw. You know, saying, like, you're my voice, you're my messenger. If you do what I ask you to do, then it's out of your hands, except to learn how to give people a lot of grace, because he ended up handling some of these situations, and even on a certain level, I believe, brought some judgment on them. But he's saying, don't gloat, because it wasn't a pretty situation at all. And it was intense for a couple of years, but I'm totally in another place now because of all going through all that, the strangeness of it, and sometimes feeling very isolated, like you had mentioned. And but it's okay, because it's made me who I am now. And I pray, you know, I would handle those things a lot better now. Whether people receive it or not, if you do what God asks you to do and you do it in love, then you've done what he asked you to do, and you're just the vessel.
Well, you just rounded my message out beautifully, because two very, very important points that I didn't mention that you're mentioning is whatever he tells us to deliver, we deliver it in the way and will and timing that he sets, and then we leave the results to God. It's not about us. You just won't make it as God's servant or minister if everything's about you and how it affects you. It's got to be about others and being God's voice.
Amen. I mean, I honestly, nobody taught me that. It was the Holy Spirit, and I know I messed up because I was angry about it. But I also knew it was the Lord's grief, too. And the thing he was doing inside of me was showing me how to separate that with the sword of the Spirit, you know, what part is your anger and what part is the Lord's grief. And many times it was really hard to tell the difference. But that he handles it, whether we can actually do anything about it. It's like you take your hands off at that point. You can't, you do what he tells you to do, and that's it. But I realized he purged me more because of all of that. As a matter of fact, right before this program, I was talking about it with somebody very close to me. He definitely made some statements about it. There was a fire in the building, in the place where there were contentions, and, you know, and I learned about the religious spirit trying to squash the move of God and the Jezebel, and how what had been a very pretty strong prophetic ministry full of the glory of God, it kind of got squashed down after that. And it's sad, but he's released me from feeling, I don't know, a grief or a responsibility on some levels, because he was training me, you know?
And I
have peace about it, and I know I'm going to move on, and I know God's, like you said, God's hand is on everything. We really don't have to do that much many times.
Really, we have a bit part. We need to see it that way. That
yep.
Especially when it comes to correctional, he might have us say one little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Holy Spirit wants them to remember that, they'll remember it. We do not need to nag. That's not spiritual. We don't need to, you know, berate people or anything. And I find that if you talk softly, you know, and just say, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you this much. You know, I won't bear down on what there anymore. Yeah.
Right. And this was about warning, like, other leadership about it, and I had not had experience prior to that in that area, but had been put in as an elder, and I took it, you know, seriously. But others would go to them and would back up what I said, like sort of in a rhema word. They would give scriptures. And I did hear that the leadership now, it's been about a year and a half since this fire that happened, that they're really reflecting on it now. And, I mean, they love the Lord. It's just that they couldn't see it. They were maybe too close in or whatever. They didn't see it.
Right, and God uses situations like that to bless and mature both of you.
Yes.
I know Bishop Hammett Christian International talks about this guy that gave his word to them, and here they are on the Gulf Coast, so anybody could come in there as a stranger and give a word about them surviving a hurricane and sound like a big shot. And so they didn't give much credence to this word. He said this huge hurricane would come, and it would split in half, and that Christian International would be spared and everything on either side would be devastated or something. I don't remember exactly. And they didn't think much about it. And they're prophets, and they disregarded the word.
Hmm.
But when, I think it was Opal came, and Panama City was very, very badly injured, and Destin was very badly injured, and the whole fall conference had to be put off till January because there wasn't any hotel or restaurant for anybody to come and eat in. They remember the word that this guy that they thought was a goofball gave, because Christian International at that time was mostly inhabited by people that lived in single wives, very, very humble prophets, you know, sacrificing everything for the Lord. And their single wives did fine while the big hotels were devastated. And so it doesn't matter who you are and, you know, how big or small your word sounds, you just leave the results to God. And I like the other point that you made. Oh, did I forget, you know, that the Holy Spirit wanted to do it through you. Don't gloat whether God leads you to say something, not say something, you know, write it, give it to the leadership, whatever. When that person receives the chastisement of the Lord, say they don't repent and the Lord has to come in, you know, with consequences or just let them happen or whatever, not to gloat. Very, very important point. Thank you very much. And
oh, God, that's pride, and oh, yeah, and I mean, there but for the grace of God, I have gone. I've already gone. I just, it wasn't in a more public scenario, let's put it that way. Oh, you
well,
just
I'd
don't
like
want
to give an example.
Yeah.
An example or two, too, and I don't think this is floating to give the example, because I've lived so many places, no one will ever figure out what city it was, who it was. But there was somebody that was into illegal business practices, and it was a big concern to me because it was hurting lots and lots of Christians. I'll just put it that way. Just hurting, ripping them off, hurting lots of Christians. And so, you know, I tend to rise up the righteous indignation and self-protection too, and wanting to expose this person. And God would say, no, let me handle it. You know, let me handle it. And to make a long story short, he brought along a con man that was a bigger con man than that person that conned them. And I'd love to tell you the juicy details, but I won't. And God's basically saying to me, see, I know how to handle this. You know, you have a trickster, you've got a con, you've got, I'll just bring along a bigger one. Or let the devil bring along a bigger one. And so months later, after I thought that this, you know, needed to be exposed a long time ago, God had a detective call me and ask me some questions, and I thought, oh, brother. And I told the guy, I was like, not very helpful. I just said, you know, I can tell you haven't really started doing your homework yet, because if you think that's the case, you know, that's not it. And he said, well, he did get out of jail. And I said, what? What? Because a real con man, you know, never takes people for so much money that it's worth it for them to, you know, I mean, I won't say never, but they seldom take you for enough that it's worth it to pay all the legal fees to take them down, you know, so they get away with it, because they might spread it out over a lot of people like this guy did. And so what God had this detective do is explain to me that the bigger con man had set him up so that he took the fall for what they did. And again, I wasn't to gloat, and I'm not trying to tempt anybody else to gloat. What God is saying is, I'm your father, and you are all the children. And there is nobody whose big britches are so big that they can pull one over on me. And everybody reaps more than they sow, and nobody on the planet and in the universe gets away with anything. I am in control. And that just taught me that when I see something that really needs correction, if God tells me I've done enough, said enough, now stay out of it, that he really will take it from there.
Amen. Yeah, we don't want to get into pride or anything, and that thing about discernment, better check your own, the beam in your own eye and everything.
Right.
I mean, he was working on me the whole time, believe me. And then my
right.
desire to run off and just complain about it to friends or whatever, and God's like, you know, you can't do that, but I did for a while, and he had to correct me and chastise me about that too. So, you know, you got to be able to just take it to the Lord. If he has one person you can confide in, it's for prayer, and, you know, that's it.
And Dan, I don't think there's any pat answers. See, some people are so not assertive, and they just are doormats, you know, that they need to learn to take things to leadership or to stand up for themselves or to be assertive, you know. But other
uh-huh.
people, maybe they're really too good at that, standing up for themselves and all. And God will say, why don't you just back off and be their burden bearer and intercede? And you're like, what? Intercede for my enemy, you know? Or, you know, maybe you won't. Like, I've had some cases where some people that have tried to hurt me the worst, he just told me, just stay out of it completely. You know, let me handle it. And he did it this time.
And it makes you fear the Lord more because you can see him at work. It's like, to me, it makes me fear God more. And I don't mean fearful fear. I mean, like, just, you're God. You know, the sooner we let go of some things, he'll take care of it, you know?
Well, and I think because of hurts that people have experienced in the past, and when people did appear to get away with things for years and years, you know, sometimes we can become a little vigilante to think we need to help God. You know, we're going to be the relationship police or whatever. And we just need to have greater confidence that God really is going to handle us all at the same time.
Amen.
It really is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I still don't know a thing about you, but I like what Tony did. I do know. Okay, Lord,
I called in last week, and you gave me an awesome word last week. I'm still chewing on that.
Well, you know what's really funny is because I have no frame of reference. I'm a novel prophet, and it just bubbles up, and I just say what I hear, and I don't have a clue what it means. And how it applies in your life, you know, because sometimes I have thought that I did, and then I actually asked the person about it, and I found out I was light years away from picturing the real circumstances they're in. You know, I don't remember what I talked about last week. So if it's similar, praise the Lord. If it's not, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you have any specific prayer requests, or did you already tell me and I forgot?
I'm just awaiting direction. I feel like doors are going to open, and I do have some needs, but I won't go any further than that.
All right. All right. Lord says I haven't forgotten. I have not forgotten everything that you've sown into my kingdom. I have not forgotten. It's multiplying, and it's multiplying. And just as if you put money into a savings account and you take it out the next day, it doesn't do anything. You don't have an increase. The Lord says my timing is perfect. The locations where I've had to so was strategically designed for their benefit and yours and my glory, Lord says. And I have not forgotten that at the perfect time, I'm bringing this all together. It's as if oh my, I'm picturing these threads underground, and they all go to different places, and there's a number of things that you've been wondering about. Well, what about this? And what was that for? And is this going anywhere? And am I supposed to go over there? And the Lord says, I have all these threads together.
You said the word threads? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You said the word
threads.
I think it's a little muffled. Yeah.
Sorry. It's underground. It's not like a marionette where you dangle in here or anything. It's like threads underground. It's almost kind of like, okay, I'm picturing a children's card where, you know, they have some of those children's cards where if you pull the tab on the side and the characters stand up on the page.
Yeah.
Lord says, I've got all these things connected, and when I pull the thread, then everything's going to pop up and it'll be in place. And as you just continue to minister to me and rest in me, I'm going to give you more and more clarity day by day. But the Lord says, you know, I've been watering the seed, and the bloom is there, and the flower will be there, and the fruit will be so great. You know, it's like that verse that talks about the sower overtaking, which way is it, the reaper or the reaper, the sower. The fruit will be great. It'll be in the midst of a time, though, when it's really, really needed. The Lord says, I'm bringing your connections together. Your fruitfulness is going to greatly increase. Your confidence, if you know that you're exactly where you're supposed to be, will be there. But part of the reason you'll know that is because the need will be so great. But you'll know that I have prepared you and them, and the need will be met. And it'll be a real glory to me, and just great, great fruitfulness out of it.
Wow. Praise God, praise God. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you. Did you relate to that?
Pardon me?
Did you relate to that?
Oh, of course. The threads and the put
it
up. And, I would say he's working behind the scenes, but underground and pop-ups, that would be like surprises and stuff. Yes, amen. And the need being great, yeah, amen. All right.
Well,
yeah.
unfortunately, people's needs are only going to, in many ways, increase this year. They're going to be more and more needy. But what a great stage God is setting for us all to learn that we're already complete in Christ, that he has already answered our prayers, that his promises are already fulfilled, that we just need to pray and seek it for us, believing we have it already.
Yes. And when you said fruit, I mean, I'm thinking of the peace, and if this had happened a couple years ago, I would have been very anxious, some of the things I need. But he's really worked hard at fruit, patience, and all that good stuff, joy, all that. So...
Okay.
Amen. Thank you.
Training school. I tell people you can either enroll in my training school online or you can just only go to God's training school, but I think you'll find it easier if you do some of mine. Learn what I learned the hard way. Okay. Be blessed.
Thank you so
Have
much.
A good night.
God bless. Right. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Area code 254. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Christy. How are you?
Is it Christine?
Yeah, Christy.
Oh, Christy. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. There's a lot of things that I could ask tonight, but I just wanted to hear whatever is on the Lord's heart for me.
Christy, I'm hearing that this is a very important time. It always is, but right now is a very important time to be sure that you've heard from me. And I hear you crying out, say, Lord, I'm just learning this. You know, how can I be sure? But the Lord says, I've got your attention. And while you have these big decisions on your mind, that I am training you and teaching you, raising you up to be one that really listens to me. And out of that, there is so much success, so much fulfillment, and so much joy coming. And the Lord says, I know you have needs. And I know that there are many practical opportunities around you But the critical thing is to know what my choice is and to trust in my timing and my way. Because the Lord says, I make choices for you that are not only a tremendous, tremendous blessing to you and your family, but to others. And the Lord says, I'm coordinating it all. I'm the great orchestrator of all things. And that this right now is a very, very important time to know that I know that I know that I've heard from the Lord, and this is the choice to make.
Amen.
It's like, don't let people push you into what they think is obviously the thing to do. Be sure you've heard from me, because my ways are not their ways.
Right. That makes perfect sense, because there really is so many different things going on around me right now that would make perfect sense to the world. You know, very good practical things that I could be choosing right now, and a lot of good opportunities. But I think that that is true, that I need to make sure that this is what is the Lord's will for me. Even though it makes perfect sense to the world, it needs to be His choice for me, and that makes perfect sense.
And I want to say this for everyone, and it's for Christy also, that the Lord says, I would never, never want you to be motivated by fear, and I don't say these things so that you'll be fearful, but the Lord says, don't do just what makes sense in a normal year, because this year isn't going to be normal. And, you know, the Lord says, on one hand, you know, I've got people believing for tremendous multiplication of resources and increase and blessing, and there's, you know, their harvest is going to come in double. On the other hand, the Lord says there'll be areas of your life where I'm saying be conservative, be careful, don't overdo it, so that you will be free and like autonomous, you know, more free to serve me and others. You know, don't let people cause you to make decisions that will strap you down, and then you're not free, and then you're in bondage. And that part
right.
is for everybody.
Right. And I continuously, it seems like every word that I get and every message that I hear, it seems to be the common theme is that God is really just wanting to draw me in and have me try to hear from Him personally on my own. And it seems like that's what He's really wanting me to do.
Well, and that could be true for everybody, too. But believe it or not, you know, the days do come when you get those words that say, go for it. You know, this is the day. You're really, you know. But I used to think, do you ever say that, God? Or is it always, wait, be trained, you know, get in the Word, you know, prepare. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the days do come when He says, this is it. You're really, go for it, you know. And, but this is a year to make sure you're hearing from the Lord, if ever before, because there are going to be many false voices this year.
Okay, thank you.
In general, you know, I'm not pointing a finger at somebody you know particularly, just in general.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Well, you are a blessing to the body of Christ, and the Lord wants you to know it. And while you're giving Him the glory, just be happy.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, if anyone else wants to call in, you need to do it right now. I have one more caller, and we'll go ahead with area code 571. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. What's your name, please?
Everly.
What is it?
Everly.
Everly?
Beverly. I'm sorry.
Beverly. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It's me. Okay. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Do you have like a one-sentence prayer request or anything?
Yeah, I put my going to put up my house for sale, and I didn't want to put the cart before the horse, as they say. So I was wondering if I was on the right track.
Oh, that's pretty specific. I don't know if you heard the I don't know if you heard the teaching at the beginning, but one thing that I seldom do, unless it's like handwriting on the wall, is to prophesy about death, birth, marriages, geographical moves, or unless I'm super, super sure, of course I should be sure of everything, but or even office calls, you know, thou art a prophet. A lot of people have a prophetic anointing. But a geographical move is a little tough because God isn't a time creature like we are. You know, and every once in a while you'll hear someone prophesy very specific times and they actually come true. But he is not nearly as time-oriented as we are, you know, whether you should list it today as far as in prophetic words. Now, he will give you confirmations on your own, you know, directly to you as far as whether you should list it today. That's not something I hear him talk about much through another person, because a big decision like that, you need to know that you know that you know that you've heard from God. You know? All the reason when we make mistakes, he redeems them. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I just thank you. The Lord says, I'm giving you that Issachar anointing, and it's going to increase and increase that you will know the times and the seasons. And I'm causing you to focus on some of these things now because I'm exercising you in that area. I'm giving you a keen discernment to know the voice of the Lord from other voices. And the Lord says there's many voices that will come your way, and they're kind of like, I don't know if you remember an old actor, Rich Little, where they not only can be like ventriloquists and throw their voice, but they can sound like they're you. And the enemy would come to you in many voices that sound just right to you or even sound like you. But the Lord says that I'm giving you that Issachar anointing where you're, I would like to make a specialist in the area of discerning my times and my seasons and imparting to other people the strength to wait upon the Lord until they know, that they would see the strength in you and realize how valuable and important it is. And the Lord says, I'm giving you words of knowledge where you will know things that you don't know in the natural, and it'll also be a witnessing tool, because even if you don't say, thus saith the Lord, you'll be able to ask people just the right questions, and they'll know that it was God that led you to even be able to ask them about that. And the Lord says, I'm giving you words of wisdom, and they're becoming sharper and sharper, that people will look to you for wisdom as you press into me and as you're hearing my wisdom each day, as this becomes of primary importance to you, to hear my wisdom each day. The Lord says, I will make you a fountain of wisdom to others, and they will know that that they can come to you for wisdom. Maybe not advice, but wisdom. And the Lord says, I will place you strategically. I do have you in a season of transition, and but I'll reveal the pace of it as we go. And it's a season of repositioning you for my plans and my purposes. And I'm going to place you in a position that is much better in the long run than what you have now.
Okay.
Now, I'm asking, did that say, Lord, that she's actually moving her residence? I'll tell you honestly, I'm not sure. But the Lord says, I am repositioning you in some ways. I just don't hear him clarifying exactly. But you are in a time of transition. You got that right. But sometimes, this is my comment, sometimes what the Lord does is he, I don't mean this irreverently at all, but he kind of dangles the carrot in front of us. And if we focus on the carrot, we become keenly interested in this area of Christian life, and in this case, knowing times and seasons and the Issachar anointing. And but the Lord says, still, I don't really want you to focus on the carrot. I want you to focus on me. Right. But I use the carrot to cause you to focus on me. And so just know that about me, says the Lord. I dangle the carrot. I let you know that some things are going to be changing. But then I want you to actually focus on me instead. And as you do, then you won't have to worry. I won't withhold any good things from you. And if they are that are willing to obey me, you know the truth. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Amen. Did that help any?
Yes. And you said Issachar, you say?
I think it's Issachar. There's an Issachar anointing, like the sons of Issachar.
Oh.
I can't tell you right now the chapter and verse where they're spoken of, but if you do a search for the sons of Issachar or maybe on the internet, maybe you'll find the truth on the internet, you know, the Issachar anointing. I don't have an article on that.
Okay. I'll research that.
There's an anointing that we all need, and I believe that God loves us all the same, so we just, you know, whatever we seek, we get pretty much, but there's an anointing to know the signs and the seasons, and those that are humble and wait upon the Lord can get the scoop.
Okay, good. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Be blessed.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye. Hallelujah. Well, I hope that you have learned a lot tonight. We have, we really could spend another week on how to prophesy, how to deliver, how to minister words when you see an area in a person's life that needs correction, that God says, don't just blurt it out. You know, don't embarrass them. Don't wound them further. Like the example I gave earlier, somebody's harsh and known for slicing and dicing and too direct and too blunt, kind of mean about it. You know, how God will take that weak area, if allowed, and turn it around and make it strength. And everyone will be amazed. It'll be such a glorious thing. And that's kind of my testimony, that I used to be real sarcastic, and I can still be too direct. But as we submit ourselves to the Lord, as we lay our tongues on the altar, then He's able to restore and to refine, you know, convict, whatever He needs to do. And I just want to encourage you, you do not have to learn all this by yourself. I don't know how you can. I mean, we were hurt in relationships, we're healed in relationships. I really want to encourage you to go to nowfaith.tv, click on schools, click on the Ministry Training School archives, click on year one, semester one, and begin to watch the videos. There are gleaned the deepest insights that I know of from the famous, you know, most anointed teachers that I know of, to collect over 4 years of videos and audios. And each and every one of them is critical for us to have the insights that are in there. It, not only if we're going to be able to know the Lord intimately, not only if we're going to be able to have successful lives and ministries and relationships this year, but because this year is, you know, I just have to say it, I'm going to go ahead and date this program. I usually try not to put dates in the programs. It won't sound out of date, you know. But 2012 is going to be a year of, well, I'm just getting the word extreme. You know, there can be extreme harvest for those that have sown a lot. There can be awesome leadership opportunities that come in for those that have submitted themselves to God's, I call it His officer training school or office training school. There can be, you know, awesome double bumper crop harvest. There can be, but there's also going to be serious trials and temptations this year. And I believe this is what I've been getting for several years, and you've heard other prophets say it too. I believe that we're almost at a deadline, that if our nation, and I realize not everybody listening to this is from the United States, but I'm speaking especially for the United States, but a lot for other countries too. If our nations do not repent seriously, big time, real repent, true repent, not just remorse, true repent. If we do not repent, if we don't quit pressuring Israel to divide her land, that God will divide our land. It's speaking for the United States. We've got this huge fault right down the middle. Right down the middle. It hasn't gone off in 200 years. It's overdue. And if that thing blows, our infrastructure will be ripped in half. That means your electrical, your water, your trucking, your interstate, that millions will not only be killed, but there'll be millions of others that are looking for places to live, and where will they go? Millions more will be unemployed because of all the interstate and everything being interrupted. That means you might be without electricity for an extended period of time. You might run out of food if you don't store food. I'm not encouraging you to go into fear at all, but I'm saying be wise like the ant, the virgin that put away the extra oil. Put away rice and beans and water and whatever else will last, and take this seriously, because this nation does not appear as a whole to be in a state of repentance yet. I believe we can be. I believe we can call in a third great awakening. But what if the fault in California goes too? What if that causes a tsunami and everybody within 30 or more miles of the coast is also hurt? You know, these things have ripple effects. So I'm saying that I'm very concerned that we need to pray 2 Chronicles 7:14 that our nation will humble themselves and pray and turn to the Lord and repent. Because I believe that we are not going to get away with anything, and God is, and in his mercy, is not going to let us go on and grow sin forever. And so as intercessors, you know, sometimes the intercessors have to go through the same things as people that they're praying for. And as watchmen on the wall, we can't help but warn you that we need to preach, not only believe, but repent. And I hope that I haven't scared you off. I hope you'll just take it seriously, because it just doesn't take a huge amount of money to put away some water and put away some rice and beans and whatever, and to be prepared. Buy some extra of the things you know you always use, and be prepared, because I believe that believers who are prepared can believe in a multiplication of it, and we don't have to hoard it. We can give to others and be a source, showing them the supplies of God never went out. But it's a good thing to have some to start with in the beginning, amen? And it all comes down to this one thing to me. Are you most passionate about seeking the Lord? Are you receiving his compassion for others? Are you preparing yourself to not only be in a position that you can trust God through a difficult year in some way, but are you going to be that person that he can use to bless others this year? Amen. I wanna live in your
Every day I do.